strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Yes, that is the cue, no doubt about it. And no doubt we are putting the big into Big Red Rage tonight. Oh, can we feel it here this evening in more ways than one. First, Wolf, you're going to have to match everyone's energy over here, including yours truly. We are fired up and ready to go.
Yeah.
The big man right here, Calais Campbell, is on hand as always, everyone.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
And we've got a big guest list, no doubt about it. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, we're going to take your pulse. How are you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm fantastic. You know, I'm excited, man. Just stacking wins, that feels good, you know.
Voice sounds pretty good, actually. The voice sounds pretty good.
It's definitely better. Trying to keep it together.
There you go, the voice update desk. Yeah, all right. And you had the sack there, right, in the first half?
Yeah, man, that was kind of nice. I wish I could have got a couple more. There was some more opportunities out there, but, you know, that one definitely felt good.
So how does it feel now? You guys are 6-4, right in the middle of the playoff hunt. You've won three in a row. What's that locker room like right now?
And we're confident. You know, I think that's the biggest thing right now. I feel like we know we can beat anybody we play, you know, and I think the biggest thing is, you know, just continue to push forward one game at a time. You know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself.
Right.
Yeah, you start looking at the playoff picture a little bit, but you want to keep it simple. It's just one game at a time. Right now, it's the Colts. You got to do whatever you can to beat them.
You know what's so interesting is there's that age-old adage, and we were talking a little bit about it last week, that you win games in November to set yourself up to truly be a contender in December. You guys are 3-0 in November. I mean, that has got to feel really good.
Well, and it was that stretch of three winnable games. You guys went out and did it, and that's not necessarily the norm in the NFL. You guys went out, and you knew it. You looked at the schedule, and you can probably admit it now, and Carson Palmer kind of set it up a month ago and said, you know what, there's some winnable games straight ahead, and you guys delivered. And you know what? You guys won it in different ways. You know, the offense won the Atlanta game by rushing for over 200 yards. They won this past game by throwing for over 400 yards. You know, you guys have won it in different ways as well. But once again, you guys made halftime adjustments and shut out yet another team. You guys keep winning that battle of adjustments on defense.
Yeah, man. I think that's a tribute to our coach. Ty Bowles does a really good job calling a good game plan, especially in the second half, making adjustments and figuring out what to try to do to us and shutting it down. You know, I mean, that's football. You know, it's really a chess match out there. You know, anytime you're going out there competing nonstop, you know, I mean, you really need the coach to put you in the best position to win to make your job way easier.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your job. You having a Pro Bowl year? Is this a Pro Bowl year for you?
That's up to the fans and the coaches to decide, you know, but I do play with all my heart, and I, you know, it'd be nice to go to the Pro Bowl, but, you know, I'm trying to win the Super Bowl first.
You know, Wolf's going with the soft questions. I have the hard-hitting question. What happened on that 4th-and-1 at the 38 to start the game? What stinking happened on that one?
I don't think we really thought they were going to, that was a good play call. You know, nobody really does that, you know, throw the ball in that situation. But, you know, I mean, it happened, and it was a goal line type play, and they took it to the house.
Well, if you guys said you never saw that on film before, you're right, because that was that guy's first NFL reception. He'd never caught a pass before in NFL history.
And we play history.
The guy we have as a guest is just the opposite. He's going to hold virtually every receiving record along with Jerry Rice by the time he's done. He's going to be coming up here on the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Palmer takes another fade left side. This time it's on the money. And Fitzgerald makes the grab. Touchdown, Cardinals. End zone. It's caught. It's a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald throws end zone. Caught. Fitzgerald. Touchdown. 35-30. 25-20. 15-10. 5. Touchdown. A 75-yard touchdown strike. Open as Fitzgerald. He's got it. Touchdown, Cardinals. Fitzgerald caught inside the five, lunges toward the two, and over the goal line for the Cardinal touchdown. Carson Palmer to Larry Fitzgerald.
If you're saying to yourself, now wait a minute, Larry has six touchdowns this season. Yes, indeed. You just heard all of them right there, as called by Dave Pasher on Ron Wolfley on the Cardinals Radio Network. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi and your host, Calais Campbell. And Calais, I'm going to say, this is probably the easiest introduction, a man who really doesn't need an introduction. But go ahead, your special guest tonight.
Just off the top of my head, I guess. You see him on Sundays making big plays in the games. You see him all over TV and commercials, you know, ESPN with his son.
Big time.
Looking kind of cool, looking like a good dad. And now you see him on the Red Rage, hanging out with me, Larry Fitzgerald.
Nice. Very nice.
Nice.
And, you know, I know Larry doesn't like all the accolades and the numbers. I'll just leave it at this. One of 17 players in NFL history with 10,000 career receiving yards and 80 or more career touchdown receptions.
Hello.
How about that, Larry Fitzgerald?
Got some work to do.
And you probably know all 16 guys ahead of you on that list, don't you?
If you gave me some time, I'll probably just put the names up.
Because you are a historian of the game to a big degree, aren't you?
Well, I feel like you have to know your past to kind of help you get along through the future. You know, I've been a big fan of football for a very long time, not only on a professional level, but, you know, college and high school even. I go to a lot of games locally, and, you know, I just love the game. And, you know, it's just, it builds character, and it's a wonderful sport.
You know, Larry, a lot of people point to your relationship with Chris Carter when you were a ball boy in Minnesota and your affinity for Chris. What other receivers impacted you and influenced you, maybe outside of Minnesota?
Well, you know, it's very unique because, you know, once I got into the NFL, I just started reaching out to all the guys that I really truly admired in terms of the Jerry Rices and Michael Irvins, you know, Roy Greens, Andre Rison's, guys like that I always looked up to and emulated. And, you know, I've got a great relationship with those guys. And they actually come up in off season with me in Minnesota and actually spend a week with all those guys. Every single week they'll come up for a week and work out with us and they'll teach us some of the tricks of the trade. So, you know, those relationships mean everything to me.
Where does that come from, your annual summer camp, if you will, in Minnesota? Where'd that idea start?
I stole it from Chris Carter. You know? So when I was in high school, 16 years old, you know, he invited me down to train with him, you know, get ready for the football season. So I talked to my mom, my dad, and, you know, they were like, yeah, we don't know about you going down to Florida for, you know, for 3 weeks. And, you know, I convinced them, you know, that I was ready and I was mature enough to do it. And they let me go down. And, you know, it's from Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper and Dexter McAllister, and I mean, just so many terrific players there, and I got to see how hard these guys worked, you know, as a sophomore in high school, and it really gave me a true appreciation for, you know, how hard it is and how hard you have to work to get to that level, and, you know, at 16, it really opened my eyes.
You know, one of those guys, Cecil Shorts, right, who came up last couple of years, he got a little frustrated after this game. Did you see his quotes afterwards after you guys beat Jacksonville and Calais and Patrick Peterson pretty much shut him down? I don't know if it was necessarily one-on-one. I mean, Patrick's one of the best in the business, but he was none too happy. There weren't a lot of footballs that came his way. Did you see any of that?
I mean, he's a good player. I mean, if I was on their team, I would want him to get the ball because he can make some stuff happen with it. But, you know, we did a good job. We game-planned him and took about the game. And, you know, I mean, it's just good football.
Larry, what are your thoughts on the 2013 season right now? The fact that you guys are 6-4, you've won 3 in a row. Just your general thoughts on how the season is going for the Cardinals.
Now, I think that we're in a great position right now. Defensively, we've been playing lights-out football. And you know, I think the last few weeks, offensively, we started to pick it up. And that's where we want to be at this point in the season. You know, you want to be ascending. And I feel like our team is doing that right now. But you know, every single week is different. You know, we're playing against a really, really good football team this week in Indianapolis coaching. It'll be a great test to see exactly where we are as a club, you know, against a team that has great special teams, great offense, a defense that really can get after the pass rusher. So it's going to be a wonderful test. I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
You know, Carson just had the 11th 400-yard passing game in Cardinals history. Think about that for a quarterback. And after the game, Bruce Arians, we were talking on the post-game radio interview, and he said he saw it in practice. He could tell the look in Carson's face. He could see it in practice, the way the offense was executing. Before I ask Larry, I'll ask you, could you see it last week? Could you see things sort of trending upwards for the passing game at least?
Definitely. I mean, the way he was throwing the ball deep down the field, looking receivers off, I mean, he did a really good job in practice. I knew that would carry over in the game. I mean, it's kind of, you know, the nature of the business. You practice how you're going to play.
And how so, Larry? I mean, when Coach said he could see it in practice, what do you think he was seeing? What was telling him, okay, this could be a good game?
Well, like just for instance, Friday practice last week, you know, I don't think a ball hit the ground all day, guys. There was no mental errors. I mean, we had maybe one false start, you know, throughout the practice. So guys were sharp mentally. They were sharp physically. And when you're executing that, you build confidence. And I think we carried it right over into the Sunday. And, you know, when we're playing offensively, we're able to score points. You know, this allows Calais and the defensive guys to pin their ears back and play the defensive style that we know they're capable of. Attack, you know, man-to-man coverage and get the ball out, you know, and those guys get a chance to get after the quarterback. And that's the kind of game we want to play.
I tell you, you know, and you can just sense it. You can just sense the guys, you know, not thinking as much. You know, they're playing more. You know, talking to all the guys in the locker room. Obviously, Michael Floyd had a heck of a game. You know, what did you have to say to your guy, Michael Floyd, after that game? Nearly 200 yards receiving.
You know, I mean, we were all proud of Mike, man. I mean, what makes it so special for me was Mike didn't practice on Wednesday. He could have very easily sat out Thursday and Friday with the shoulder injury, but he fought through it. He pushed through it. He wanted to be out there. He wanted to be a part of everything. And his hard work and dedication paid off for him on Sunday. And those games are going to be, you know, a lot more of those going to come from him. He's working his tail off, and him and Carson got a great rapport.
All right, we're taking up to the top of the hour. Larry Fitzgerald with Calais Campbell on the Big Red Rage.
Back to throw goes Henny in trouble, and he's sacked at the 22-yard line by Calais Campbell. Boy, he really has come on. And the Cardinals force a punt. They get a big play from their big sack man.
You got to love that. You rush four right there and play quarters. Quarter coverage. Four deep. Three underneath. And your guy just was better than their guy and got the sack. Well done, Calais.
Yep, the sack in Jacksonville. Tackle for a loss. Pass defense. Couple of tackles. Calais Campbell and that disruptive defensive line up front for the Arizona Cardinals. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais and Larry Fitzgerald on hand. So there was a play call on the Cardinals radio network. You take us through it. Give us your play-by-play there of the sack against Jacksonville.
For me personally, I think it was just a point in the game. I feel like we needed to play. And, you know, they were trying to move the ball down the field, build some momentum. And, I mean, it was just one of those things where everything worked out the way it was supposed to, you know, and just made it happen.
Calais, why do you think you guys got off to a slow start? Here's a situation where they had not scored. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Paul, but the Jacksonville Jaguars had not scored an offensive touchdown at home.
Yeah, and you're suddenly, correct. But Calais is in pain, but you're
okay,
correct.
Okay, yeah. And suddenly on their first two possessions of the game, they score both times. They're up 14-7 at the time, but how do you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, there's no excuses. I mean, you know, I think that when their back's against the wall, you know, people do things that you normally don't do. And I mean, we
like fourth and one from your own 38 on the very first possession.
You think they're going to punt, and then they're climbing up to play defense and run a play, and we're trying to like hustling on defense. No excuses. I mean, we still should have stopped them, but I mean, it was a great play call, and they capitalized on it. And then the second one, I mean, they had to have a little sideline play.
Yeah, a little high school trickery.
I can't even believe that.
It's the NFL. You have to be prepared for anything, but we weren't prepared for it. And, I mean, it cost us. But, you know, we once we regrouped and, you know, settled down, you know, we did what we had to do.
Right.
By the way, speaking of high school, real quick, did you see the Darnell Dockett video, guys, from high school? Come on now. Can I get some commentary on that?
That was hilarious.
Was it not hilarious?
It was a man.
I mean, he's like lethal in high school. I mean, he's going against kids. I'm just like, it's like you're waiting for the parents to run on the field and pull Johnny out from the huddle. You know what I mean?
Exactly. He was killing them. I mean, he was a man amongst boys. I mean, he doesn't look like he changed much. I mean, same Fitz, stature now.
Fitz, did you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he made everybody watch it. You know, he sent it to me. We were on the bus getting off the plane in Jacksonville. He's like, Fitz, you got to watch this video. I turned it on. I was like, man, he's playing against little kids here. He's grown man playing against little kids.
But, Larry, you were in the NFL at age 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what were you like your senior year of high school? I mean, you must have been very dominant.
Yeah, I was dominant, but I played a skilled position, so it wasn't like as physically dominating as Darnell was. I mean, he was just crushing those kids, though. You know, I was catching touchdowns on people, but I wasn't like physically demoralizing people.
There was like a 140-pound running back who came up for pass pro to pick up Dockett off the edge. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah.
And he absolutely buried him. I mean, oh my gosh, it was just illegal. It was illegal.
And you know, it's interesting because Darnell Dockett and Calais Campbell, you two guys have been right at the tip of the spear when we talk about the improvement of this defense. You talk about how much better we are against the run. Number two in the National Football League when we were number 28, exactly. Number 28 in rush defense last year, and we're number two. And you know what? We're also number two in average yards per carry allowed, which means teams are trying to run the ball, but when they're running the ball, they're getting a big, fat frying pan in the face right there. And that really is a testament to you and Darnell, the job you and Dan Williams and Big Alameda Ta'amu doing in the middle right now. The point of attack, that is the difference with this defense. And everything else is coming around based on that, too, isn't it, Calais?
It really is, man. You hit it right on the head. I mean, it's one of the points of emphasis we've worked on all through camp. And, I mean, every day pretty much. I mean, our coach is on this real tough about just, you know, playing with her hands, shedding blocks, and, you know, getting penetration and meeting running backs in the backfield.
And you know what's amazing?
I don't know if you guys seen, you know, you guys don't come out to practice late, but I don't know if their group is the last one to leave the field every day.
Really?
Every day. Every practice, they're working on conditioning drills, hand fighting drills, you know, shedding blocks is always something they're doing. They're different, and you know, Coach Buckner, man, he's done a great job with that group, man. He's a player coach. He's played many years in the game. The guys can relate to him. He can teach them things that are actually functional that they can go out there and take to the field. And you know, you've seen them really respond.
You know, the only guy who does more yelling on the sideline than you, Calais, is your coach, your position coach.
Oh,
Tell us about Brenston Buckner. That guy's a character, isn't
he? Buckner is, he's an ex-player, so, I mean, you know, everybody respects him, but he gets so intense, and, I mean, you don't want to mess up around him.
He busted out his own video for Darnell Dockett, didn't he? He showed you guys his video, didn't he?
I will tell you, I respect him a lot more after watching his video. I didn't realize he was that good. I mean, he was
good.
But that guy was special, and so it makes it when he teaches something, we listen a little bit harder.
That is true. When a guy has played and played at a high level, he's going to be a more effective coach?
Yeah, you respect him a lot more. I mean, it's one of those things where if a guy can do it and do it well, obviously he knows something about the game, and he can teach you a little bit about it.
I would just say, though, that, and Larry, I'd be interested to get your take on this, too, because I think at the same time, you've got to be a good coach. What you're saying has got to resonate. It's got to be true. It's got to be something that does make you better. But the fact that you played and played at a high level, I think you're more willing to accept that type of coaching immediately.
Absolutely. You know, he's been in the trenches. He's done it for a long time. But, you know, I've been around some unbelievably great coaches that have never played before as
true.
Well. But when a coach understands, like, you know, it's different when you go to a coach. Like, I had Frank Wright last year. You go to him, Coach Mena. Hey, my hand is sore today. You know, he understands what you're talking about without having to explain it. You know what I mean?
And right.
It's different, you know, when you're working with a coach that has been out there and played with.
Were you going to coach either one of you guys? When are you done real quick? You going to coach? Oh, that's a no.
Too much time.
No from Larry. Wow.
It's too much time. I mean, those guys are in there from like 5 in the morning to like 10 at night.
Yeah, they never see their family ever during the week.
All right, that's It's All About You presented by Santan Ford. Back with more right after this.
Snap to Palmer. He'll throw from his end zone. Pressure coming. Pass away is caught over the middle for a first down by Floyd. Breaks the tackle. 30 at the 40. Gets rid of another defender at the 50. At the 40. At the 30. Being chased to the 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown! A 91-yard touchdown by Carson Palmer to Michael Floyd.
Oh, the raging bull! Michael Floyd would not be denied. He gave him the horns.
That was 3rd and 10 at the 9. He catches it across the middle, and as he told us in the post-game radio interview, he said there were a couple of measly hand tackles. He ran through those, and then, boom, he was all the way gone. And I think the first guy to meet him in the end zone was Larry Fitzgerald. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Yes, Calais Campbell and Fitz on board here tonight. And you know what, guys? That's the longest pass play in Cardinals history since 1988. Wow. And Wolf, right? You played with Neil Lomax,
that's
obviously.
Right.
Ernie
yeah.
Jones, do you happen to actually remember that? Should I
do.
Ask that?
I do remember that. Ernie okay. Jones. I don't remember exactly the play, Paul, but that doesn't matter. I remember the names. That's good. Neil Lomax and Ernie Jones.
You know what I thought of on the sideline when Dave Pasch gave the stat was that, Larry, what about your touchdown in New England? When you went back to your Minnesota days, you're running down that icy sideline. How long was that one? At the end of that blowout game, how long was that?
I don't remember. I only remember the Super Bowl birth we had. That's all I remember.
Is that the one that sticks out to you? I mean, is that the one you're going to remember when you're old and you're gray? And you
it was the most meaningful one.
That was the most meaningful one.
I mean, It was for the biggest prize that we played for, you know.
Where are you right now in your career? I mean, where are you mentally, emotionally? How are you feeling?
I'm fine. Just every day, that's a blessing, you know, to be able to wake up and do something that you truly love, and you get to come around and have wonderful teammates like Calais and guys like that. It makes coming to work real easy, and, you know, it's a great job, you know, especially when you're winning.
How about the position change? How is that? Where are you right now?
No, I'm good. I'm right where I need to be. I'm comfortable. You know, there's no excuses. No, you know, this is a great opportunity for us as a ball club offensively, you know, to go out there and do some great things. And you know, I'm really excited about where we're at and where we're trying to go. And
are they still moving you around as much as they did when the season started?
Yeah, I get moved around periodically, you know, depending on who we're playing against. And you know, Coach Arians always keeps you on your toes. You know, you never know what's going to be installed in the game plan. Every single week we get new information, new routes, different things that, you know, we want to beat teams with. And, you know, it makes a lot of fun, you know, to come in there and learn new things and learn new techniques. And it's really expanded my route tree as well.
And you're still getting a lot of attention from the defenses to the point where there was a second half adjustment where they were in cover three and they saw the safety kind of cheating your way. And you guys are able to exploit that. And that 1-5-play touchdown drive, right?
Yeah, I mean, Carson's doing a really good job of navigating the safeties, moving them with his eyes, and finding the open man. And, you know, guys really stepped up. You know, El Nino, or everybody knows him as Rob Hauser. We call him El Nino in the locker room. And Michael, obviously, you know, made some great plays for us. And so, I mean, guys are really stepping up to the plate and taking it upon themselves to make plays and help this team.
Can I just ask you why you call him El Nino?
No, I mean,
it's really interesting.
Because he's fast. He's fast.
Now, Calais is over here. He's deep in thought. I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, man, I wonder what that 91-yard touchdown catch sounded like in Spanish. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Gabriel Trio, let it roll.
Tiene el balón Carson Palmer. Aguanta en la bolsa. Lanzar completo a la altura de la yarda 25. Atrapa Michael Floyd. Se quita una marca. Está de pie en la 35. Está en la 40. 45. Se quita otra marca. Sigue de pie. Está en la 20. Está en la 10. Está en la 5. Y se va a ir hasta su casa. Touchdown. Arizona. Michael.
Oh, man, that is outstanding. You know, when I hear Gabriel, by the way, the first thing I always think of is his Larry, 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 Larry call.
Yes.
That went viral a few years ago, and he still uses that for you. You remember that, obviously, right?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Ohms will get it for you for a ringtone.
Okay.
You know, that wouldn't be too pretentious or anything. No, that wouldn't be. So what else do you take from that game? You go into Indianapolis, Calais, and, you know, okay, the defense come out. You know, you made the second half adjustments, right? You shut them down in the second half. How different a test is it going to be against Andrew Luck and company? I bring that up because Patrick Peterson was talking today about how he expects them to come out in a power running scheme against the NFL's number two ranked rushing defense. And I sort of went, whoa, really?
Yeah.
So they're a balanced offense, aren't they?
Probably the most balanced in the NFL. You know, I think they have the ability to run the ball a lot of different ways. They have a zone scheme. They can run power. And, you know, they have two really good running backs. And I think they want to run the ball. They're committed to it. They said that, I mean, you have to run the ball in order to be a great offense and be able to throw the ball deep and set up your play-action passes. And, I mean, I really feel like they're going to come out first quarter and just try to run the ball down their throats. And we don't have to really shut them down and make them one-dimensional and make Andrew Luck throw the ball to beat us.
Hmm. You know, one of the things, just watching them on film, you're just so impressed because the Indianapolis Colts are making a commitment to Andrew Luck. And that commitment is to keep him in a three-dimensional offense where you run it and where you throw it and where you use play action. If you want to keep your quarterback healthy in today's NFL, the best way to try to do that is to keep him in a three-dimensional offense and not throw the ball 55 times a game. And this is what a lot of teams are not understanding. And the NFL is talking about expanding the rules to protect quarterbacks even more than they do right now. Calais, can you envision what they could possibly do to protect those quarterbacks more than they already are?
Yeah, I don't know what else they can do. That'd be tough. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious to see what they come up with. You know, it's a full-time job to hit them the right way and make sure you're within the rules, but... You know, I mean,
can I just offer a suggestion right here? And Larry, this involves you. I'd love to get your reaction on this. Let the DBs put their hands on the receivers more. It's, forget about the illegal chuck. Forget
already,
about the five.
Do.
Okay, okay, right. But it, go back to the old rule where there is where you can actually put your hands on the receiver throughout the route. How would you feel about that?
Nobody wants to see that. the fans pay hard-earned money to go out there and see nice acrobatic plays made outside. They don't want the defensive guys holding on to the receivers and doing – that's not good football. Nobody wants to see those kind of football games.
Well, there have been very many receivers, including Jerry Rice, that have had long and successful careers playing against those roles and playing with those roles. So to me,
and there's been a lot of successful receivers that have played with the new rules too.
See, it's a good thing he's not Commissioner Wolfley. Let's put it that way, because the game has evolved.
Touche, Larry.
He'll bring Touché. Back the wedge and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, where is the wedge? We need to bring that.
All right, let's just get this out of the way right now. Panthers, Patriots, Monday night, flag or not a flag, Larry?
That was definitely a flag. That's pass interference.
Calais?
As a defensive player, I agree that was a flag. It should have at least been holding or something.
Really? I thought it was not a flag because he never made an attempt to come back for the ball. I thought it was on the Patriots. He was underthrown, and he didn't come back.
He couldn't get back to the ball.
But he didn't really try.
He should have fought to come back to the ball. Hey, that's
Gronk,
why he picked it up.
Plant your right foot. Try to get back to the ball. Just allowed himself to be, but he gave up, I think. That's my opinion.
All right, look, we talked all about the Floyd and had it in Spanish, the 91-yard touchdown catcher. Reminder, each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local public schools to the Passing Touchdown for Schools program. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. We're going on with the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, and Larry Fitzgerald, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Someone tweeted a picture of Jason Babin with a fistful of Andre Ellington's hair. Apparently ripped hair out of his head on a tackle.
The dread of dreads.
I'm pulling my dreads out, dog.
Nothing too serious, and the hair's fine, and I'll be ready to go next week.
What can I tell you, baby? We'll get you some more.
That's Coach Arians after the game in the locker room as Andre Ellington was actually wearing a microphone. He just happened to be the guy who was wired up on Sunday in Jacksonville. Imagine that as that play goes viral. You know, win the game, lose some hair was the headline from that one. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford, Calais Campbell, Larry Fitzgerald. Were you aware during the game, Calais, that he was minus a few dreads?
No, I didn't hear until after the game was over. But it was kind of funny because I had a handful of dreads. Like, whose dreads are these?
So he's not on the injury report. You know, knees, hammies, hair. No, he's not on the injury report. He had it sewn back in. And obviously, it begs a question, Larry. Have you ever been tackled by your hair? Because your hair, you're known for this, flows out of the back of your helmet.
Yeah, I've gotten pulled before, but nothing, never ever yanked out. Hopefully, it never happens that way either. You know, that seems like it would really hurt.
You know, it's part of the uniform, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
It is part of the uniform. You can actually grab the hair and tackle a guy that way.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians was talking about that early. I guess back in the day, I guess when Bruce Arians actually played the game of football.
Tell the story.
He had the mullet.
Wow.
He did. He said he had the mullet going.
He called it the shag, though. He called it the shag.
Well, okay, whatever it was. Yeah. He had long hair, but he told me it was kind of short. He described a mullet, Paul.
It was a mullet.
Okay, you can call it whatever you want to call it. It was a mullet. And somebody grabbed him and tackled him by the back of the head. He said he cut his hair after that, right? So Bruce Arians is very aware of this situation and intimate with what happened to Andre Ellington. I've never seen that happen. Was that his real hair? That is my question.
Yes, it's real hair.
How did that not hurt?
No, it definitely did hurt. I can assure you of that. It definitely hurt.
He didn't really. He was wearing a microphone, though. He didn't really react. He didn't yelp in pain. I mean, you know, we saw it in real time on video. He didn't really react.
He's tough.
I guess so.
He's tough.
I mean, there he is with a baggie, though, with the hair in it. You know, and so it was an amazing sight. I guess what Frosty Rucker went and got it. He went and got it off the field, or got it from whoever took it, the official.
Well, it was Jason Babin was actually holding it up. I thought that was kind of a civil thing for Babin to do in that situation, don't you? To actually hold it up and say, "Hey, I got something here. There's some DNA in this." And, you know, that was really weird. Yeah.
But
man,
did that cross the line, though? I mean, you know, I don't. He wasn't real happy about it, obviously, Andre. You heard him in the cut there. He's like, "Dude, what's going on?" You know, I mean, doesn't that cross the line when you're yanking on some guy's hair?
Whatever you got to do to get him down.
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
I mean, you don't have much time to make decisions out there as a defender. You got to get him down. You can't hit him above the head. You can't hit him below the waist. You got to pull the hair.
Well, I was joking with a few. Actually, the offensive linemen were joking. Now we have to open up a hole and a half just to account for the hair, all right? So to get through, you know, so they don't yank on it.
You know, this will make you lose your hair, too, if you're a wide receiver. How about all the blocking you're doing there? I got to tell you, I am so proud of you. As a fullback, a former fullback, I cannot believe how many times I see you actually motion down into the box and then release up the field to block the eighth man in the box. You're doing a great job at that. How do you feel about that?
Well, on Ellington's 80-yard touchdown run, Wolf, you saw it on film. What
gives
was the
me no
key?
Answer, Paul.
What was the key on Ellington's 80-yard touchdown run?
No doubt.
It was a couple of receivers blocking downfield. One was Larry Fitzgerald, correct?
Absolutely. Larry, go ahead and talk about that play because you did something incredibly special on that. I couldn't even believe it when I saw it on film.
No, it was just that we had a blitzer over me, and I just washed him into the line and Dre bounced outside, and then Michael made a good block up the field for him, too, and he did the rest by himself.
The Japanese fighting fits. Okay, and he loves that name, by the way.
No, he doesn't.
He literally, he motions down, and here comes the corner right over him. It was Trufant, right?
Yes.
It was Desmond Trufant. And guess what he does? On the snap of the ball, he fires his gun. He's coming on a corner blitz, and Larry sees him doing that and blocks him. And that's what allowed Andre Ellington to bounce it to the next level, where Michael Floyd came in as well with another block. The receivers of the Arizona Cardinals, the blocking Cardinal receivers.
What kind of reaction are you getting from DBs you play twice a year for many years? I mean, are they like, wow, this is a new Fitz here. He's bringing the lumber.
No, I don't do too much talking. They don't do too much talking to me. So, I mean, I'm too tired running around all game. You know, you're too tired to have too much conversation out there.
Although Michael Floyd's the exception to that, right? I mean, he looks forward to getting physical with guys
yes.
as a receiver,
yeah,
right?
He dishes it out. He enjoys that aspect of the game. I let the young guys deal with that.
So Larry, you going to put the neck roll on?
No.
I mean, you know, when is the neck roll coming out?
No neck roll for me. No neck roll for me.
Strap it up, paint the face, and put the neck roll on, Larry.
Oh, my gosh. All right. You haven't ever lobbied to play offense, by the way, have you, Calais? At any point, any time, one of those jumbo backfield type sets?
You know, I told Coach if you
man,
ever
if,
want...
you see, if you thought Carlos Dansby had bad hands, you got to say that.
Oh, I have great
talk
hands.
About crossing
oh,
the line.
Oh, man.
Grab his hair. All right, back with more of the Big Red Rage. Calais and Fitz.
Second and 10 from the 11. Give us to Brown up the middle. Brown breaking free for the touchdown. Donald Brown, a burst, his second of the night, and the Colts looking to seal the deal against the Titans.
All right, there you go. Colts are up next at University of Phoenix Stadium. It'll be the 81st straight sellout. Every single game, preseason, regular season, playoff, has been sold out at the stadium, and that is coming up on Sunday. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Calais Campbell, and special guest Larry Fitzgerald. So, Calais, break it down. On the coach's grease board, in order of importance against this Colts offense, what are you going to have up there? What is key this week?
Number one is making them one-dimensional. You know, that's the most important. And then putting pressure on Andrew Luck and making him give up the ball faster than he wants to. I mean, he likes to, you know, make every good throw and holds onto the ball a little longer, so he's going to give us opportunity to make some plays, you know, rushing the passer. So hopefully we can put some pressure on him and get the ball in his hands early and rattle him a little bit. He's a big guy, though. People don't realize how athletic he is. I mean, that guy can move.
I was just going to say that, too. That is the one thing you really have got to guard against with Andrew Luck, right? Here's a guy that can beat you with his legs as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, for a guy to be able to throw that well, he shouldn't be able to run that fast either. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, making it harder for us and kind of like cheating almost in a sense. But, you know, he's a great quarterback, and, I mean, we have our hands full this week. But I feel like we have a great game plan for him. I think that if we just, you know, execute and run our game plan, we should be able to limit him and really, you know, give ourselves a good chance to win.
Of course, they're minus Reggie Wayne. Larry, how well do you know Reggie Wayne?
I know Reggie very well. He's a good friend of mine. You know, I've always been, you know, able to reach out to him throughout the years. And, you know, it killed me to see him go down the way he did, earlier this season. But, you know, I know he's an ultimate competitor, a true champion. He's going to be back next year for him strong.
Fitz, can you talk a little bit about the Colts' defense and what you're seeing on film?
Yeah, I mean, they have unbelievable pass rush. I mean, Robert Mathis leads the NFL with 13 and a half sacks. I mean, a guy, I don't know if anybody gets off the ball as well as he does in the NFL. We got to block him first and foremost, and in the back end, they have a lot of speed and some really strong hitting safeties back there as well. So, you know, we have to do a good job in the run game. We got to run the ball at these guys to slow that pass rush down for us to be able to take some shots and make some plays.
So in Jacksonville, you know, the running game, you know, you guys went to the air over 400 yards. You know, to what degree was Jacksonville just loading up to stop the run? And, you know, I mean, how much do you expect to see that again? I mean, have you seen much of that, or how are teams usually going at you guys?
You know, last year in Jacksonville, obviously he was in Seattle, so we saw the same, you know, defense that Seattle runs, and, you know, they don't really change it up. They're going to give you cover one, cover three, occasional cover two snap, but you know what you're going to expect. You know, the Colts, they throw everything at you. You're going to get some quarters. You're going to get some, you know, cover six. You're going to get some press man. You're going to get a little bit of everything. They're going to keep you on your toes, especially when you get in that red zone. So we're going to get a lot of different looks, and hopefully we can get the run game going early.
You know what, guys? The Indianapolis Colts are a second-half team, especially their offense.
So are we.
Yeah, exactly. They are a second-half team, and yet when you look at our defense, oh, my goodness. And Paul already touched on it a little bit. But we are a second-half defense as well. That is going to be, to me, a very interesting second half at University of Phoenix Stadium.
Yeah, it's a chess match. You know, I mean, we have very good defense going up against a very good offense. And, I mean, that second half, we both make really good adjustments and figure out what the other one's trying to do. So we got to just keep mixing it up and keep calling right plays and, you know, bringing the house. And, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be fun. I can't wait. You know, I love these kind of matchups. I love this competition. I mean, this is what football's all about, you know. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best.
How about the matchup within the matchup and the two coaching staffs, though, right? I mean, Bruce Arians and Chuck Pagano, so close. Obviously, last year, we all know the story, and he's the interim head coach. They went 9-3, ends up NFL Coach of the Year. Obviously, they know each other very well and their schemes very well. Coach Arians obviously knows their personnel very well. So, Larry, how does that trickle down and factor into this game?
Well, I mean, he knows the intricate details of each player and their mental psyche and kind of, you know, what to expect from each guy. And that's a huge advantage when you can go into, a game knowing all that information. And, you know, it's been great, you know, listening to him and watching tape with him. And he's telling us exactly, you know, when a guy gives you this mannerism or when he's doing this and this hand signal, you know, you're kind of learning and digesting all that. It gives you really, a much better advantage, you know, when you tip off to, on Sunday.
I'm not asking you to name names at all. But has he said anything to you like, you know what, if you let this guy cover you, you're in trouble?
No. He never does that. You know, he just says when we hit our individual matchups, the same thing. You know, when Clay is a single block, you know, we expect to win our individual one-on-one matchups. And the more guys that are doing that, it gives us a better chance to be successful and win.
Bill Belichick used to do that all the time. He'd walk into the room and say, I'm going to fine you $500 if you let that guy tackle you in the open field. He used to say it all the time.
You know what Coach Arians has said, though, is that it's not just another game, obviously. It's very special to him. It's emotional. Does that put any extra pressure on that locker room when you're a player, Calais?
I mean, I think it brings more excitement. You know, you want to win it for him. You know what I mean? He's our coach. We respect him. We love him. You know, and this would be huge for us to win this game for him.
All right, Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Just go to Ticketmaster.com. We'll be back right after this with more of the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Larry Fitzgerald, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Fitz right, Bolden left. McCown under center. McCown, three-step drop, pumps right, now throwing back to the right, going end zone, Fitzgerald, he's there! He's got a touchdown! Larry Fitzgerald sets the Cardinal record for catches in a year, and it comes on a touchdown!
Wow, Larry Fitzgerald down the sideline on the check by Josh McCown. That is a big-time play by a blossoming big-time wide receiver.
Wow. Do I have to tell you, Larry, what that was? Can you set the time and the place and the game and all that? I have it right here on the sheet. Do you know it offhand by listening to that?
Yep. That was RCA Stadium in Indianapolis. That was week 17 of 2005. I remember that. Yep.
Whoa.
I was going into the north end zone.
Whoa.
Do you remember how many catches you ended up with by the end of that game on the season?
Because
it is the Cardinals' single season record, by the way.
Yeah, 103.
There you go. Josh McCown is now playing for the Bears and doing pretty darn well. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's been great to watch Josh. You know, I know he's an ultimate competitor. I mean, he's bounced around all over the league, and you know, he's finally getting his opportunity to shine. And you know, I know he's put the hard work in, and you know, he's a great friend and was a wonderful teammate when he was here with me, and I'm really happy for him.
Fitz, how are you feeling? How are you feeling physically? You're 30 years old, are you not? Mm-hmm. 30 years old now. How are you feeling? And do you ever think about a day where you're not playing football anymore?
You know, I feel the same way, you know, probably Clayus feels. I mean, it's week 11, week 12 in the NFL. I mean, it's everybody's sore and hurting, but, you know, it's part of the gig. You know, you have to fight through it and deal with it. And, you know, those thoughts haven't crossed my mind. You know, I'm really focused and poised on, you know, trying to get this team in the playoffs, and that's all of our mindsets.
Do you think you could play till you're 40?
No.
You don't?
No.
No way?
No,
sir. You have no desire to do that either,
no,
do you?
No desire at all. None.
Do you have an age in mind?
No. I just take it year by year. Just give it my best every single day.
Hey, I'm curious. What was your record in 2005? Because this is crazy. I mean, two receivers.
Not good at all.
The defense must have been terrible.
It was bad. It was bad.
Wow. Calais is looking at a stat here in 2005.
We're 5-11 or 6-10.
You and Anquan were both over 100 catches, and you both had over 1,400 yards receiving. Wow. I don't remember it being quite that prolific.
17 touchdowns. I mean, that's crazy.
That is. How did things change once Anquan Boldin left the Cardinals?
You know, a lot. You know, that was a big year. You know, you lost Anquan. You lose Kurt. We lose Antrell. We lose Carlos Dansby. Lost Antonio Smith. You know, I mean, we lost a lot of big time pieces to our team. You know, and those kind of guys are not just easily replaced. So it was difficult losing those guys, not only on the field but the men in the locker room. You know, the guys you really respected and you know, kind of grew up together with.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys all over Carlos Dansby for his hands?
No.
You know, again, because think about this. When Carlos was here the first time around, Carlos Dansby in space, he had sweet hands, right?
Have you seen his hands?
No, I have not.
I mean, he's probably got about what he got a broken, you know,
middle finger,
dislocations. I mean, his hands are so mangled. I mean, it's rough right now.
He did catch a pass in practice today. Yeah. Nice little interception. That was sweet.
It was tossed to him. Tossed to him underhand.
Yeah, he's just, yeah. You know, Fitz, the guy could have like 5 interceptions on the year right now.
Yeah.
So where we go from here, though? So where we go from here? He can finish strong. He might get a couple.
He can still have 5 on the year.
Yeah. I can imagine.
No doubt.
I can imagine in practice he caught that one. Guys are just merciless. I don't know if it's worse when he drops it or catches it at this point, right? He's going to hear it either way at this point.
It's always better when you catch it.
Yeah. All right. Hey, a reminder, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Betteridge Jewelers in Scottsdale, Paul Benzel Jewelers in Yuma. We roll on. In fact, we'll wrap it up right after this on the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Larry Fitzgerald, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. All right, back to wrap it up. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Calais Campbell, your host, Larry Fitzgerald, the guest. And I tell you what, how about a quick shout-out playing the Colts down there, Wolf? How about Tom Moore, who coached 13 seasons in Indy, right? And his players combined for 37 Pro Bowl trips during his years in Indy. So talking about Coach Arians and Harold Goodwin and all the other Colts connections. You know, Tom Moore probably has everyone trumped in terms of years of service. So when you look at this game, Calais, you know, what else? What else are we missing about this? What is it about going against Andrew Luck that you think will be most challenging on Sunday?
You know, I think it's really going to put our defensive, our reputation is going to be up, you know, for challenge. I mean, this guy's a great quarterback, and at the end of the game, he finds a way to win them. You know, that's just what he does. And I think that, you know, our defense, what we've kind of established is at the end of the game, we're going to close you out. We're going to make sure you don't have a chance. You know, so, that we put a lot of emphasis on two-minute drills because most games come down to, you know, the last drive. So, if we can stop them, you know, in the two-minute situation at the end of the game, I mean, that really would say a lot about our defense.
How about you, Larry? What do you think you guys have got to do offensively to be successful?
Well, we have to start fast. You know, as soon as we get the first opportunity to opening game like we did last week and like we did in New Orleans, you know, we have to get that opening drive. We have to go out there and put points on the board. We have to be efficient on third downs. And in the red zone, we've got to be scoring touchdowns. You know, this is not a team you want to be kicking field goals on. We got to be scoring touchdowns. And we got to give this defense an opportunity to be playing for, with a lead so they can get after them.
Here's the key. You guys are all missing it. All the years up here of football knowledge and experience, and you guys miss the key to the game is the fact you're wearing the red on red unis. Is that a good thing, Calais? Red on red?
That is a good thing. Anytime you switch it up, you know, I mean, it gives every guy, all the guys a little bit of a spark. You know, we like switching it up, you know, being different.
Wolf, you can go to your old uniform, find that neck roll, and you can put on Fitz's red
give
on
it
red.
Give it to Larry, yeah.
Exactly. You can do that over there.
The neck roll on, give him some padded gloves.
Thankfully, Wolf hasn't brought in his own highlight reel yet. He's going to do it at some point, like Brenston Buckner.
I would love to see it, though.
It's about two plays.
Yes. Hey, special thanks, everyone. Calais Campbell, Larry Fitzgerald, everyone here at Marley, Santan Ford, Jim O'Mahundra, Walt Ellis & Company. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, what? What's up, Aces?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.